I want to start with a little bit of crowd participation. So, when you hear something that applies to you, raise your hand. Okay? And not yet. There's always got to be one in the crowd. So, when you hear something that applies to you, raise your hand. How many of you are married? Okay? How many of keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. How many of you have a brother or a sister? Okay. How many of you have a mother or a father? Okay, look, everybody's hand ought to be up by now. I want every hand up. Everybody put your hand up, because there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. Okay, Tony, get your hand up. Thank you. All right, so look around. Everybody look around. Right? Everybody's got a hand up, right? Okay, put your hands down. See, here's the thing. Good, bad, or indifferent, we all have family. Okay? And I don't know about yours, but good, bad, or indifferent, they are your family. With us dealing with the issue, it's a series on authority. Last week, Mike talked about the authority of Scripture. That's right, right? Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got that right. I did listen. Biblical authority. My topic is authority in the home. So we all have family. So we should all understand how the family works. When I started studying for this, I'm like, okay, so the best way for me to get some biblical examples on family is to look in the Bible, right? And so I got this program where I can type something in and it brings me up everything in chronological order. And I started looking at these. Here's what I found. I was pretty overwhelmed. Adam and Eve sinned, right? The first family. Adam and Eve sinned, and Adam responded by blaming his wife. They had two male children, and one of the sons killed the other son. Then we moved to Abraham. Abraham was God's chosen man. Abraham married two wives, breaking God's law, and he wound up eventually kicking one of the wives and her kid out, right? Booted them out, and not even just like out of the house, but like into the desert. It's like, there's no other houses around here, but just leave. Jacob married several wives just like his grandfather. He didn't get the picture there. And his 11 sons sold one of the sons into slavery. Let me get there. David also continued the track. He had too many sons, and David's family was a mess. So one of his sons raped one of his daughters by another mom. Well, that daughter's brother, Absalom, came back and killed the brother that did the rape. This is David's family, right? The man after God's own heart. And so I stopped right there. I'm like, this is not what I'm wanting. But here's the thing. See, when I was looking at these family relationships, they're just as dysfunctional as our families are today. There was just as much sin in their families as there are in families today. And sin destroys a family. See, we don't have... You know, we have some okay family relationships. See, some of these people did right things, right? There's a lot of us, we have examples of families that are pretty good, but there are no great examples, perfect examples of a Christian family, of a family of believers around today, because none of us are perfect. We're all flawed. In fact, today is kind of worse. See, today, because of sin, we've actually redefined what marriage is. Some cultures, men still take multiple wives for a wedding. I could talk about some religions, but I ain't getting into all that. Our country has redefined marriage to include same-sex marriage. It's not acceptable according to the Bible. And we're looking at biblical authority. So we've redefined the term marriage. What's God's design for marriage? You know, in my family, I want to have, believe me, there's no way I'm anywhere near perfect, but I want my family relationship to be one that God would be proud of. The title here is Normal in an Abnormal World. How do I have a normal, biblical family in an abnormal, sinful world? The first thing I want to do is not take my cues from other people. I can look at Mike and Shelby, and they do some good things with their kids. But I'm sure, and I don't know them, but I'm sure they mess up. I know. Mike, Morvin, Shelby. So see, I don't want to take all of my cues from human families. I want to know what God's Word tells me, and that's where I want to get it, because all of us are just as fallen. If you ask my kids, they'll tell you, I know all kinds of different ways to sow chaos into my family. Yep, that's my son. I know all kinds of ways to sow chaos into my family. I'm really, really good at it. Last week, Mike quoted John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he made this point, and this is his, it ain't mine. He said that his voice is the Scripture. If I want to know what God thinks, I can go straight to the source. I can go to God's Word, and He will tell me what He wants me to know. So I want to look at what this Word, what God says about the concept of what normal looks like, and then I want to take normal and I want to apply it into our abnormal culture, right? So you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians 5. I'm going to be doing quite a bit of reading in this area right here. So we'll read it all the way through, and then we're going to stop, and I'm going to kind of bounce around, but this is going to be where we're going to get most of our stuff for. So Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 22. Okay? And we're going to read through chapter 6, verse 4. So there's quite a few little verses here. I'm using the New King James Version, so it may not be exactly what you're saying. We have it up here. So here we go. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Go to chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you for your Word. God, thank you for putting in Scripture here and all other, and just dozens of other places, God, what the family ought to look like, how the family should function normally in our abnormal culture. God, I pray that you would speak to us today, God, that we would leave here with a better idea of how you would like us to act within the confines of our family. Amen. So, I'm going to look at a few points of this. that will help you. If we get these, if we can apply these, we are going to look more normal in an abnormal world. See, normal to me is what the Bible says. Abnormal is everything else. So I want to look like the Bible. I want to be normal. I don't want to be what culture says is normal. Because culture gets it wrong, and our culture has pretty much destroyed marriage as the institution it was set up. So we're going to look at four things. We're going to look first at the role of the wife. Then we're going to look at the role of the husband, the role of the children, and the role of discipline. The first one, the role of the wife. See, the first thing that Paul addresses to this church is the wife and the family. The wife is to submit to the authority of her husband. Everywhere, and I talked a little bit with Mike this week and some different ideas about this, but everywhere where they talk about the family dynamic and the husband and the wife are mentioned together, God always speaks to the wife first. It's kind of weird. Had some different ideas. I don't want to chase all those today. But God always speaks to the wife first, and He does here also. Okay, all of you that raised your hands that you're married, put your hands back up. Guys, just guys. Just guys. There we go. Okay. Put your hand down if you understand women. You understand them? Keep it up if you understand them. Oh, wait. What did I say? I said that wrong. Put your hand down if you don't understand women. That's what I want. If you understand women, keep your hand up. Mm-hmm. The one guy who's not married keeps his hand up. So, see, you guys are hard to understand for us. See, the one thing that most men, especially men that are married, will agree is that women are more emotionally connected than men are. Men, we kind of... You guys mix all your... There was a great video, I wish I'd have found it, about how men compartmentalize and how women just kind of jangle everything together and it comes out in an emotional mess. It was funny, you had to see the video. But you guys are difficult for us to understand. And when emotions are in play, it's hard to submit. So this is why God spoke to the woman about submitting, about her role of submission, submitting to the authority of her husband, not to all men. So don't think you can walk up to my wife and think she's going to submit to you. She will probably have a few choice words for you. But in our house, my wife is to submit to me. It's not as bad as it sounds. My wife is called, our wives are called to submit. When emotions are hard, it's hard to submit to authority. See, our abnormal culture says that because we are all equal, we all have the same right to our opinions, and all of our opinions are correct, and therefore, if I can voice my opinion louder than you voice your opinion, or annoy you long enough so you shut up, then I win. All right? But that's not what God says. God said wives are to submit. Men and women are equal. Let me get this right first. See, we all have the same sins. We all have the same Savior. My wife is not below me. When the Bible says that my wife is a weaker vessel, it doesn't mean physically. It doesn't mean mentally. It means she's fine porcelain. And I'm to treat her like that. I'm to treat her with kind hands and love and patience because I don't want to break her. I don't want to break her spirit. And I don't want to break anything else on her. But she's supposed to do the submitting in the home. See, our abnormal culture has too many families, and this applies in the church too many families where the man is the weaker vessel. And the woman is the Lord, has the lordship in the house, and the man doesn't know what to do. If you take that away from a man, you've created a child. If you're not submitting to your... And some women will say, well, but you don't know my husband. He won't do anything unless I jump out and take no. You can submit to your husband and encourage him to be a leader. It's all in how you do it. The wife is supposed to submit. But in many families, the man's dropped the ball. See, anytime that the woman takes control, takes lead in the family, when there's a full family there, your family becomes abnormal, according to Scripture. It will operate abnormally, according to Scripture. You can't have a biblical family and have the wife in charge. It doesn't work. A family. Here's the thing. A family is not a marriage. The stuff we do in our marriage, that's 50-50. But a family is not 50-50. Actually, it's 100-100. I mean, everybody's got to give everything. But a family, in decision-making, it's not 100-100. I take advice from my wife, and I take it seriously. But the decisions are left to me on how our family is going to go forward. Because the responsibility is on me. It's just as when you think of submission, think of this. How did Jesus act towards His Father? Nothing. Nobody. Obedient. He submitted. Even though He was equal in the Godhead, He submitted to His Father willingly. Think of it like this. In the army, if you have, and I may get these wrong because, see, I don't know any army. If you have a sergeant and you have a new recruit, as people, they are equal, right? They each have equal value. But to keep chaos, one of them is in charge. To keep chaos from happening, one of them is in charge, right? It doesn't mean that the recruit is less valuable. It just means that to keep chaos, there is a hierarchy. There's also a hierarchy in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they both willingly submit to God the Father's plan. Doesn't mean Jesus or the Holy Spirit are less than. It just means in the order of hierarchy, to keep chaos, God is the leader. The wife, women, it's a conscious decision. It is a choice that we make to submit. With the model of the church, it's the same thing. We as men, we have to choose to submit to the authority of the Bible, what Mike talked about last week. If I really want to lead my house well, I submit to the biblical authority. If we want our house to run well, my wife submits to my authority. It's a military word more of than what our culture defines it as. An abnormal culture says, I ain't submitting to nobody. You don't know me. I'm my own person. Ain't no man going to rule over me. Well, okay. You can make that choice because it is a conscious decision. But if you want your home to work right, if you want your home to be a happy, loving, nurturing place, we all have our roles. The word basically means to come under rank, to come under someone. A sergeant is not inferior to a captain. A recruit is not inferior to the sergeant. They just have different roles. See, God created the family, so God created the order that He knew would work. Galatians 3:28 kind of makes it clear that as people, we're all equal. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. When we come under the house, though, when we come under a family, there is a role. But as far as our positioning in Christ, we're all equal. When the wife, according to Philippians 2:8, when the wife submits to the husband biblically, she's imitating the relationship that Jesus has with His own Father. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the marriage is a picture of a relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All are equal, but all live within a hierarchy. And that's how our families operate best. See, submission, at the fall, when man sinned, marriage was broken at that point. Everything we knew as right was broken. And as we progressed, the divorce rate is the same in the church as it is out of the church. And it's over 50% now. The numbers of people just living together and never getting married is phenomenal. But the church is following the trend of the world. We're buying into the abnormal instead of seeking out the normal. If the home is broken, then the consequences are society breaks. See, when the normal home breaks down, it affects everything. When God started building a community on this earth, He started it with a family. When the marriage doesn't work correctly, everything becomes distorted. Women, you are the first block that God mentions in building a strong home. You're that cornerstone that starts the building. When the wife is correct, then everything can line up according to that. The cornerstone. I told you that, well, you don't know my husband, right? I got to do this or it'll never get done. The act of biblical submission and encouraging actually will help your husband accomplish his task of godly leadership, even if he has no clue to what his role in the family is. A submitted wife doesn't go in and say, this. She says, look, this is what I think. How can I help you achieve what you want to achieve in this family? And you work together. It's a teamwork. And that leads up to point number two, the role of the husband. Verses 25 to 33, speak to the husband and what his role should look like as head of the house. And Paul says, the first thing he says to him is, husbands, men, love your wives. See, when this was written, that was kind of a radical thing to say. It was not, you know, we know I love my wife, right? But back then, that was not always the case. A lot of arranged marriages, it was all kinds of things in the mix, and love was usually not one of them. Here's in a commentary from William Barclay, this is what he talked about the Roman and the Greek culture. Jewish and Greek culture. In the Jewish law, a woman was a thing, a possession. The husband possessed her just as much as his house or his flocks or his material goods. She had no legal rights whatever. For instance, under Jewish law, a husband could divorce a wife for any cause, while a wife had no rights at all in the initiation of a divorce, and the only grounds on which a divorce might be awarded to her was if her husband developed leprosy. So if you develop leprosy, or there he mentions two more, if you leave your faith, or if you sexually assault a virgin. A virgin. She ain't a virgin, you can't leave. You are owned. In fact, a writ of divorcement was actually him giving you back your ownership papers so that you could get on with your life. Because no man would marry you without one. You were still property of someone else. In Greek society, a respectable woman lived a life of seclusion. She never appeared on the streets alone. She never went shopping alone. She lived in the women's apartments and did not join the men of the household even for most of their meals. Complete servitude and chastity were demanded of her, but her husband could go out as much as he chose and could enter into as many relationships outside the marriage as he liked without incurring any social criticism. See, all the privileges back then belonged to the man. And into that culture, into this area in Ephesus, which was... I mean, it was a huge city. It was a Greek city that was just... They were all into this ownership part. And he says, no, love. Paul speaks love. Men are to love your wives unconditionally. It goes back to the church. How did Jesus love us? Unconditionally and sacrificially. See, when I was the worst me, when I was at my worst, Jesus still loved me. When I did not know Jesus, Jesus still loved me. Jesus knew what I was going to do before I ever did it, and He still went to the cross willingly. He took that. And that's how I'm supposed to treat my wife. You know what? Divorce was never God's idea. I am to love my wife. That's the same thing. God doesn't kick me out of church or doesn't disband me from His family for any reason. He loves me regardless, and I'm supposed to love my wife that way. While we were still enemies with Christ, He died for us. See, He knew I was sinful. He knew I was disobedient, and He died for me. He gave it up, even knowing all of my thoughts. See, husbands, love your wife realistically. Don't expect her to be perfect, because she won't be, because you're not. Love her realistically. Understand that we have a sin nature. And just like we have to be renewed every day, so does your marriage. If you got something from the past, get rid of it. Deal with it and move on. And love your wife even in the middle of it. We are to love her like Christ loved the church. We are to be willing to die for her. Women, if you think your role is unfair, look at the man. I'm to take a bullet for you. I'm to stand in front of anyone that brings you down. I'll take criticism before I allow you to criticize my wife. See, it's easier for a woman, and men get this, it's easier for a woman to submit to a man when she knows that he's got that. When my wife knows I got her back, it makes it easier for her to submit to me. When she knows that the things I'm doing are out of love for her and respect for her, it's easier for her to submit. But this is all impossible to do without God's grace. And that's where it falls apart. See, husbands, to love sacrificially means there's going to be times when you have to give up other things to serve and please your wife. It means, I don't golf, but you may not go golfing this week because your wife needs you. You may give up whatever it is because she always comes first. We're to encourage her with her relationship with Jesus. We're responsible for setting the spiritual tone in the house. Do you pray for your wives? Do you pray for your children? Do you actively engage in lifting them up and giving them to God? Do you actively submit to God the same way she's supposed to submit to you? See, we're not only supposed to cultivate our wives' character, we're also supposed to cultivate her ministry. Because every person has one. We're to help her fulfill God's calling on her life. Sometimes it means cautioning her. Sometimes it means standing behind her and helping her along. And sometimes it means stepping back and letting her do that thing which God called her to do. See, all you single guys out there, you need to consider this before you step into marriage. This is why we encourage premarital counseling. Because most people think they're going to step into marriage and all them problems are gone. Yeah. That ain't how it works. They ain't wait till you move two dysfunctional people into one dysfunctional house. Man. That's why, because it's to set a correct expectation. A normal expectation, not the abnormal that the world throws at us all the time. See, we're to love her as our own body. Every day, we do the things to maintain our bodies. We wash, we clothe. Some of y'all even exercise. Not me. Ooh, come on up here, Bama. You ain't my kid. I could do. No, we'll talk about discipline later, Jeff. So, We do all this. How hard do we work on maintaining our marriages? See, it's easy to get busy with life. It's easy to get distracted by ministry. And then what happens is we allow weeds to grow up in our family. And it starts to choke off. And our family looks more like the world than it looks like God. Love is personal. We love our wives like we love our bodies. And daily we take time to cultivate that love. Submission and authority in marriage to our society are ugly words. Everyone has the same right. The beautiful part is when you have submission, godly submission and godly authority, it makes a beautiful home. It makes a strong home. It makes a home your kids can grow up in safely and be taught how to do this when they get out. So, man, what do you do when your wife won't submit? No. Not at all. Not at all. You're not allowed to become bitter towards her. See, Colossians 3:19 says we're not allowed to be embittered. Basically, it's telling the man, stop being bitter. Stop being angry at your wife. We let the love of God flow through us and go to her. Because if I guarantee you, when I put my foot down and I'm just a jerk about it, my wife doesn't all of a sudden become submissive. It causes more. We're to love her no matter what. Doesn't matter what she does, guys. We are to love her. See, we're not careful, we get calluses on our heart. 1 Corinthians 13 says we're to patiently love and trust, and God will work on her heart. I don't want to be part of a problem in my wife's life. I want to be part of a solution. See, we have to choose to build our marriages around biblical principles. The relationship must be built on submission and love. God has eternally dwelled in mutual relationship within the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's never been a divorce. There's never been a separation among them. And He is the one we model our marriages after. When you don't know what to do, turn back to the Creator. See, God always shows us normal. But we have to submit and we have to fall under His authority. So, talked about the wives. We talked about the husbands. What about you kiddos? We got teens in here, right? Yep. See, I wasn't going to skip over you. Don't worry. I got you guys too. See, and here's, before we get going with this, children doesn't mean as soon as you become 18, you are no longer a child. Ask my son, if you are over 18 and still living in my house, you are still subject to my rules. You are still... you never stop being my child. And if you're under my roof, you're under my rules. See, that the word child refers to anyone living under the home, under the roof. If you're still living at home, still being provided for by your parents, then this applies to you. Let me see. Do I want to read that now? Okay, yeah, let me read this. Romans 12, 8 through 32. No, that's wrong to you. I don't know. I'm going to read some verses to you. Okay? I think it's Romans 1, 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Catch this. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, and knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but they also approve of others who practice them. In the middle of all that horrible stuff, he put disobedience to parents. In the middle of murder, strife, lust, I mean, all this stuff, you have disobedience to parents. I'm sorry for anything I ever did, all the stuff I did wrong. I shouldn't say anything because I did a lot. So my mom's sitting right here. I'm sorry because I don't want to be lumped in with these people. Right in the middle of all this stuff is the term disobedience to parents. See, disobeying your parents is a mark of an abnormal reaction. That's an abnormal family relationship. A child who is disobedient to his parents will disobey every authority. He'll disobey teachers. They'll disobey bosses. They'll disobey the law. They disobey God. And it starts with the parent. When you're disobedient in the home, you can add all these things. See, obedience to parents is so important that God, in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20:12, He gives a promise. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. If you want to have a full life, obey your parents. See, the long life is a direct result from your choice to obey. If you obey your parents, there's a much greater chance you're going to obey authorities elsewhere. You're going to have a much better chance of obeying your teachers, obeying your boss at work, and following the things that God wants for you. But it all starts again back at obeying in your home. See, the opposite of godly obedience results in disobedience in all walks of life. Disobedience in the home is the beginning of a fractured society. You don't believe me? Look at our society. Our society has so many broken places. And it's because there are not a lot of good, godly examples of biblical families. Broken kids break stuff. That's what they do. Broken families break stuff. That's what they do. You know, the Bible, be glad you're living now. This is Old Testament, so let me read some of these in Exodus. Anyone who curses his mother or father must be put to death. There you go. You got mad, you got a spanking once, right? Be glad you got the spanking. If anyone curses his father or mother, this is in Leviticus, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. A whole lot harder back then. Proverbs, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. It's pretty serious. It's pretty serious. The Bible does not pull punches. See, dishonor towards your parents was to be strictly dealt with, immediately and strictly dealt with. If disobedience to the parents was allowed in society, then everyone in society, all authority structures break down when the family breaks down. When I've been raised all my life as a child that everything goes my way, guess what? When I go to work and it don't go my way, guess what I'm going to do? Me and my boss are going to have a talk. And I'm probably not going to have a job. But you know what? I got my way. Well, not really. I just got rid of a problem. Obedience in the family leads to obedience in all walks of life. I'm trying to find where I am. Okay. See, when society breaks down to extremes, we fall under the curse of God. Everyone says this is a Christian nation, but it's not. It's not. There are way more non-believers than there are believers. And our society shows it. Listen to this, Isaiah 3,
starting in verse 11. Woe to the wicked, disaster is upon him. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. Youth oppress my people. Women rule over them, right? We talked about those two, right? Youth oppress my people. Women rule over them. My people, your guides lead you astray. They turn you from the past. The Lord takes His place in court and He rises to judge the people. This is what happens. Look at our society. Children run amok. Families are broken. Women don't submit to authority. Men don't submit to God's authority. And everything is broken. Back then, the youth were running the home. The parents no longer exercised authority. They were rebelling against all authority. See, here's the cool thing about the opposite. You know what? You know when really big revivals hit our society? Do you know where it really starts? Starts with the men. Starts with the men. When it hits the man, it filters down into the kids. When kids, you know what? You get a bunch of fired up teens, and churches will explode. I watched this church 12 years ago, maybe now, running 300 people. 150 of them, almost 200, were down in the teen department every week. The youth exploded and the church caught fire. Look at our society, though. Some places, it's not safe to go out at night because the teens. There's been no submission, no falling under authority in the home, so why would we expect them to fall under authority when they leave the home? See, God's plan is offensive to the world. It should be. The world is not the way God designed it to be anymore. The natural mind is hostile toward the things of God. Paul speaks to the children in the church, and basically he's telling them that the rebellion seen in the world should not mark you as a believer. Rebellion against authority does not fit our position in Christ. So we move to number four. Back to the parents. Well, it kind of involves everyone here. The role of discipline in the family. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 lays down, it's the parents' responsibility to discipline and teach your children. Kind of funny looking at the words here. Paul speaks to fathers and commands them not to provoke their children. Same word provoke is also embitter. Not to make your children bitter. See, here's guys, your kids are going to get angry at you. It's going to happen. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you cannot allow a lifestyle of destruction in your home. Your kids will get angry. When you discipline your kids, they will get angry at you. Expect it. But when you expect something, you can prepare for it. See, what they're talking about is a deep-rooted, settled anger that stays in your kids and it affects them for the rest of their lives. Mike's a counselor, an addiction counselor. And he deals with a lot of this. A lot of the root issues of addiction you can trace back to the family. Now, women, before you think you're getting off the hook, the word father is also translated in Hebrew, the same word as parents. In Hebrews 11:23, when Moses talks about Moses, his parents hid him, that's the same word. So you're not off the hook. You're also accountable for the discipline of your kids. See, Colossians 3:21 says it's so that it is possible for a parent to so embitter a child that they become heartless and discouraged, which is 100% the opposite of what God has called the family to be. But I'm going to tell you this, the quickest way you can embitter your children is by not disciplining them. Discipline has become a bad word in our society, but you want to raise, if you want to raise children that are angry and bitter and lost and don't know their place, don't discipline them. A spoiled child is thankless and bitter because they get their way every time. They're bitter when any other authority tries to come over them. Solomon said, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it from him. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Children are going to be children. Your job is to teach them, when they finally leave your house, what it looks like to be an adult under the authority of God. See, we embitter our children by never driving out the foolishness, the sin, the false beliefs that they hold in their heart with good, biblical, godly discipline. You don't beat your kids. You don't embarrass your kids in front of their friends and call that discipline. See, Jordan's looking at me like right now, like, dude, you so dropped the ball on this. Ask him sometime about how he walked through Walmart one day. That's a whole other story. And it was funny, but not really. I got to get back onto this because, see, this speaks to the pastors as much as it speaks to anyone else in this room, anyone else in this world, because we're just the same as you. See, if we do not give godly discipline, do not be surprised when your children rebel later. You cannot complain that you cannot control your child if you did not use godly discipline. And see, this is just as prevalent inside the church as it is outside the church. I told you a minute ago, this is discipline that does not result in abuse. Okay? They are not the same things. Don't curse your kids. Don't curse at your kids. Do not criticize your kid. Do not overly punish your kids. See, what that does is it teaches your child that when you're angry, you can do whatever you want to whoever you want. That's why we have so many issues in our school. Kids do not know how to handle discipline. We need to help our children understand that discipline is helping them. We are also to train them up in the instruction of the Lord. You want to know how you want to treat your children correctly? Treat them how God would treat them. Treat them how God would treat them. You want to treat them how God treats them? Open up your Bible. Go back to the authority of Scripture. See, here's the thing. When you abuse your children, when you mistreat your children, when you don't raise your children in a biblical way, those kids belong to God. You're raising God's children. Just like your parents raised you. You're raising God's children, and we're just stewards of them. We have them for a short time to be able to sow into their lives. And what we sow into their lives in that short time will affect how they live the rest of their life. We have to be faithful stewards so that we can encourage them. Just men, just like I said, you need to encourage your wife in her ministry. Parents, you need to encourage your children to fulfill God's plan for their lives because He has one. Go ahead and stand up for me for a second. Everybody stand up. We covered a lot, and you can't even cover near what the Bible talks about. This is something we all have to get into at home if we want to understand a biblical family under the authority of God, led by the husband, with a wife who's submissive biblically, and teaching and disciplining our children in a godly manner. Each one of the relationships that we talked about is not dependent on how the other person acts. If my wife isn't submissive, it does not mean I am not the leader in our house. Children, get this. If your parents aren't living a biblical life, that does not release you from the call to honor and obey your parents. The only thing you cannot obey is something that goes against God's Word. You are to honor and obey your parents even if they don't. Our daughter Jackie, and I've talked about this and she knows, and so when she came to our house, she moved in when she was 16. Anytime she would say anything negative about her parent, her mom, we would stop her. We would stop her right then and say, instead of talking bad about her, why don't you pray for her? Guess what she does now? This is like 6 years later, I don't know, something like that. She prays for her mom. She actually has a decent relationship with her mom when they get together, but it's on her terms. It's a biblical relationship for her now. It's not dependent on the other person. You are to fulfill your obligation even if every other member of your family drops the ball. See, most of the time our responses are based on what other people do to us instead of our relationship to Christ. Mike is my boss. I submit to him because he's been placed in authority over me at work. So I submit to him. You know what? I have to submit to him even if he's a jerk. Yeah, which he's really not. He's all right. He's all right. But I have to submit to the authority even when I don't agree with him because he's the boss. See, I can't control what Mike does. I can't control what my wife does. I cannot control what my kids do. But I can control how I respond to them and to Jesus. If I ask right now, how many of you want a biblical family? A family that honors Christ, where your kids can grow up in love, where your wife can know that you always have her back, and your children can learn what it means to be a godly adult. We would probably all raise our hand right now. See, we can have that. God's design for the family is this. Wives, honor your husbands. Husbands, love your wife. Children, respect your parents. Parents, teach and discipline your children. All of this under a biblical umbrella. If we can get that, then we move from abnormal to closer to normal. And that's what God wants. Go ahead and close your eyes. So today we got all kinds of families. I said in the beginning, I don't know, good, bad, or indifferent, what your family life was. But we all have tendencies to lean towards the abnormal. Parents, do you want more control and more love, more peace in your home? Operate it under biblical principles. Don't give in to what the world says parenting is. Kids, you want to have a better relationship with your parents? You want to have better relationships at school? You want to grow up to be people that contribute to society in a positive way? Learn to obey your parents. Learn to honor your parents. It all makes a difference. Here in just a second, I'm going to pray. We're going to open up the altars. Parents, come forward and pray for your kids. Kids, come forward, pray for your parents. Church, pray for your leaders. See, authority hits all of us. We are all accountable to someone. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for our homes. While I'm doing that, just come on forward and pray. If you have any other needs, the altars are open. If you don't even know what I'm talking about, you've never seen this, you've never heard this, this is all foreign to you, we'd like to show you what God says about coming under His authority, the relationship with Him. God, thank you.